high school and take this driver's ed course. And then during the summer, we'd go driving. And I had a go-kart. I mean, you learn how to, I mean, I made all my mistakes when I was a kid at the go-kart. You know, my dad bought a go-kart for us, and he says, you know, don't use the brake. What he meant was don't use the brake while you're pressing on the gas pedal at the same time. But I heard don't use the brake. So when you're coming up to the garage door, you kind of run into it unless you use the brake. And Mom, she went along with me, brave Mom, and we decided to go up the front steps because I forgot to use the brakes because Dad said don't use the brakes. He didn't want to wear them out. I mean, come on, they'll last forever if you don't use them, okay? So I figured I'd made all my mistakes, you know, as a kid on the go-kart. And so I get in the vehicle. I'm driving around with this guy. I mean, come on, he's a football coach. I mean, we're going to have fun. You know, just make a few jokes. He'll laugh, okay? And he liked me. He did. And I was doing great. Didn't have any problems up until test day. Up until test day. And he says, okay, we're going to come up to the stop sign. I want you to take a right. I said, okay. All of a sudden, he had the radio on. I don't know why they turned the radio on. It's just a distraction, isn't it? When you're taking it, you're nervous, okay? So they had a radio on. All of a sudden, it says terrorist threat against the big old tower in Chicago, whatever they call it nowadays. What do they call it now? Don't they have a different name for it? They don't have a different name? I thought somebody else bought it out. But anyway, whatever that big tower is, there was a terrorist threat against it. They had tried to blow it up or something, and it comes across the radio at that moment, and I'm thinking, whoa, that's crazy. You also realize that while I'm thinking that in my mind, I forget to turn right at the stop sign and I just start going through. You know, they have this power in the car. They have their own brake. Did anybody have that used against them? Isn't that scary? Like, where did that, what? I thought I was in control of this vehicle. It's kind of like marriage, you know, when you're going forward. And then you have this wife that says, oh, I thought I was the head of this home. Well, I'm the neck that turns it. Okay, right? Have you ever heard that? All right, yeah. Anyway, all right, so all of a sudden, brake. And you aren't going anywhere when somebody's pressing the brakes, right? You've probably done this in some sort of a project. You're helping somebody move, and they have this huge toolbox that you're helping them move. And you're pushing with all your might, and it's not going anywhere. And then the owner of the toolbox says, oh, I forgot to, you know, mess with the brakes. Oh, thanks. I don't have any more gumption left in my body. I mean, there's only so much you can get out of this, okay? Okay, and then you start wheeling along and saying, who applied the brakes? Sometimes we're moving along in our spiritual walk with God. Sometimes we're running our race, and all of a sudden, we look around us, and we're putting all kinds of effort into it, but we're going nowhere. We're praying desperately, and nothing's happening. Has anybody ever been there before? Okay, nobody wants to confess. We got a few. I've been there. It's like, why are we not moving forward? I would pray for that consistently at Dayton, and I would preach on that consistently. We have to move forward. Why? Because when you're not moving, you're stagnating. I learned that from my assistant basketball coach, that word stagnate. You find out what that is when PE clothes have been left for a long time in the locker, right? It stinks. It's death. That's what Christians do. They stop moving and they stagnate. It's what churches do. They stop moving and they stagnate. Have you ever seen a church that stagnates? And guess what? The whole entire community is watching as this is going on. Other people are not wanting to be a part of that because it's dying. It's So what's happening? I would like to propose to you tonight that one reason, I'm saying one reason, I'm not saying that this is all-encompassing, because when people say that I'm going through a trial, all of a sudden people think that person must be in sin because they're going through a trial. Is that always the case? No. So I'm saying here tonight that one proponent of us having the brakes applied is because of us. One reason why we might not be fulfilling our potential as a church could be because of people within our church. Now, don't look to your neighbor. It's not time to look to your neighbor. It's time to look at yourself tonight. I'm looking at myself. I was telling Steve today, most of the time when people get angry at me for supposedly preaching at them, it's because it's actually a sermon that I was preaching at myself pretty hard, and it came out. So I'll try not to look at you too hard, because I'm actually really needing this tonight. When we get into life and we felt like the brakes are being applied, we need to look at, in the previous section, is worldly wisdom being applied here? Is it the worldly wisdom that we're seeking outside of God's word, not within God's word, that we're seeking elsewhere, this strife and this contention? That's what it causes. Everything in the last passage, if you're dealing with worldly wisdom, it was pointing to confusion in every evil work. It was not pointing to peace. It was not pointing to unity. In fact, what this would do and what verse 1 would do, in fact, this whole entire passage here that we're going to be dealing with here tonight, in fact, what it would do is state this question. Why do we cut in pieces what God meant as whole? Right? Why do we cut in pieces what God meant as whole? I mean, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, and again, another thing that Steve and I were talking about, sometimes it looks as if Pastor and I got together and planned our sermons, but we didn't. I don't know what he's preaching on Sunday morning until I sit in the pew and listen to it. And he doesn't know what I'm preaching on Sunday night. But even in Sunday school, when he's talking about how God made us, and it points out in several different ways that God created us, we need community. He created the church for a reason. He created a family for a reason. He created marriage for a reason. Why do we cut in pieces what God brings together? He also asked this question, and I made a statement about this morning during the morning service. Will God reveal truth if we have no intention to use it? Did anybody remember that statement? When we're getting into this section, understand that this might be me that God's working on. It might be you that God's working on. Open up your hearts. In fact, can we just take a moment to pray? Pray to yourself individually. Ask God to work in you. Just give a few moments here, and then I'll close it out here with a prayer. Pray, God, that He would open up this passage to you. Just take a few moments, and then I will pray. God, I know that you have reserved this passage for tonight, and God, may I preach it correctly. In fact, hide me. Bring your word out. May our church, may the individuals of this church draw closer to you as this next passage beyond which we're even dealing with tonight, draw near to you as you draw near to us. God, open up our eyes to the truth, our hearts. Convict us, make us emotional about the wrongdoing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. First point we see here is the reason being why the brakes are applied is my flesh takes priority. That's a bad thing, okay? My flesh takes priority. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Why do I fight people? Why do I argue? Why do I have issues in my relationships? And I will tell you that more times than not, it's because I believe that my kingdom has been invaded. Say, what are you talking about? Think of yourself as a kingdom. And all of a sudden, someone disrupts what you have placed as your plan, as what your idea of what life should be, how people should treat you. And all of a sudden, we come out in this attack defense mode, okay? Both of it comes out. All of a sudden, we want to build a wall. Right? Don't we do that as Christians? I will not let you into my life because you're messing with what I want. That's what it comes down to. We say I too many times, don't we? It's about me. And when you're messing with my kingdom, my bubble, my comfort zone, that is when I react. Is that true of you? So I'm not the only weird one in here, right? Maybe I'm just normal. We get upset. It comes when our lusts, our desires that drive us to that, when we feel like we haven't been respected. Anybody feel that in the workplace? You feel like you're not respected? Okay, your supervisor doesn't understand what you deal with on a constant basis. They just show up and tell you what to do. I hear this about the plant out, you know, and it's not too far where some of you have worked or have worked, you know, retired and thinking they come in and buy us out, and we've already dealt with this problem 20 years ago. Why are we doing the same thing again, right? Is that the consensus, right? And why aren't they hiring enough people? I mean, I imagine that the teacher industry is the same way, correct? I mean, in the teachers in here, why do I have 57 students in here? And they all have ADHD. I have ADHD. I mean, I'm going nuts. And they come in and say, that's your problem, deal with it. Excuse me, sir? I don't get paid enough for this. I think I've heard that in the past week. Yeah, I don't get paid enough for this. I got a job offer because of that, okay? When I worked at a retirement community, that's one of the smartest ideas, is a retirement community. I mean, where everything is just taken care of. I mean, I went and worked for this place, and I mean, the lawn was mowed, the pond was raked, the flowers were put in, they were watered. I mean, the vacuum, everything was vacuumed on the hallways, and they'd come in and give you your meds. I mean, it was just an amazing place. Wasn't some people like that? Okay. And I worked for this community, and I was to take care of the outside. Okay. But, and I started out with a 40-hour position. This was when I was in Flint. I started out with 40 hours, and then all of a sudden, somebody in the hierarchy found out that I had 40 hours and didn't think that they could afford this. And so they cut me down to 25. Now, that's difficult when you have a family and working for $10 an hour. It's just, it's difficult. You say, oh, I've got worse than you. I'm sorry. I am. I'm sorry. It's tough for me, and I feel you, okay? Let's just go there. Well, all of a sudden they called me in one day, and they asked me if I could install a toilet. I said, sure. I've watched my dad do that a few times. I've done it myself. You know, I can install a toilet. They said, great. Go get a toilet and then go and install it. So I had to go to the store, buy it, and bring it back. All of a sudden, the guy that is supposed to be doing this walks up to me. Says, what'd you do? I told him I could install a toilet. He got so mad at me. He says, are you a plumber? If they need me to be. I was getting hours. When you're desperate, right? I was getting hours. I was getting paid. If they need, well, we don't get paid that much. We don't get paid to do that. We don't get paid to break our back. I'm getting paid. I'm just happy to get paid. That's it. I'm sorry, man, if you turned it down. I just said yes because I'm not going to lie. He ended up quitting. I got a new job that day. I got his job. Why? Because he felt like he got disrespected and he just left and had nothing. What did they gain him? Throwing a hissy fit. Gain him nothing. Gain me something. Sometimes we get all tense because somebody's not respected me. Somebody's not owning up to the way I think things should go, and this is my plan, and this is the way that it was supposed to work, and this is my car, don't make it dirty, and I mean, fill in the blanks, right? Fill in the blanks. We get upset because our desires get messed with. Anybody agreeing with that agreement? And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever dealt with this, maybe you've been on the receiving end, maybe you've dealt this. Anybody ever have a beef, you know, because something happened to you outside of church, but you brought the beef into the church, and somebody didn't do something just right, and then all of a sudden you flip out? What did I do? Why are they mad at me? Has anybody ever been in that position where somebody's mad at you and you have no idea why they are mad at you? You have no idea what. Something happened on the outskirts. They came in, they had a beef, it was on their shoulder, and it got knocked out pretty easy because you did something that you didn't realize that was going on. Where did it all resort to? Okay, that's just a symptom. It's a surface problem. Something happened before that even happened. And that's probably what we need to research out and try to care for and help somebody else with. But that's also, if we're on the dealing end of that, we need to watch ourselves. Don't bring problems to people and make them pay for something that they didn't do. Right? But as you get into this, sometimes we have this beef on our shoulder. Why? Because something happened and it just didn't work out the way that it's supposed to. And I'm going to take it out on the first person that says no to me. Or that didn't give me my food fast enough because this is a fast food joint. Anybody ever ask that? Is this a fast food place? Really? I mean, really? So when we get into this and say, well, Pastor, where are you going with this? I'm just trying to get us to understand that when we get our desires messed with and we put our desires as priority, that's where problems come from. And when we create a division and strife, Satan wins and we don't. Have you ever just had to be right and it didn't matter what it took? It just had to go your way. We're coming back, backtrack. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Why do I have marriage issues? Why do I have friendship issues? Why do I have church issues? Why do I have community issues? Why do I have schoolmate issues? Why do I have coworker issues? We must come back and check, what is our flesh doing? What is our desire? And is it God's will, God's desire for our lives? So as you come back into this and you ask, okay, all right, where does it come from? He says, is it us? Is it our own desires? Going into point number two, it says, my sin kills my pleas. You say, where does it come from? Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You say, I'm okay because I've never killed anybody. Great. Anybody ever kill anybody in here? No hands. Great. Okay, awesome. Okay, but then what does Jesus say when we hate someone? It is the same as murder. Where does that come from? It comes from that desire to have, and my sin comes out. I want, so I will do anything and everything it takes in order to get. Does that sound like our world today? I will destroy in order to have what I want, for it to go my way. It says, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because you ask not. And you want to know why you don't ask? Because how can you ask your Heavenly Father for something when you have sin? That's our thought process, isn't it? If I go to my father after the service and punch him in the gut, he'd be probably a little bit concerned. I mean, this is not the love punch, you know, that fathers and sons do back and forth to each other. This is like a sucker punch. And then I say, let's hug it out, Dad. And some of you are giggling, right? Because why? Because that's an idiotic move. If you're going to sucker punch, run. No, don't sucker punch at all, okay? But just in that essence, if I go out and I start talking to Tim over here, okay? I can't use Gary's anymore because they're like right there and they never know who's talking to, you know, who you're talking to. So I'm going to use Tim, all right? I go over to Tim and I start talking to Tim about, man, Pastor has been doing this all week and I just can't stand him. I just can't. He's been stealing my coffee all week long. I just can't stand it. And Tim goes over to Pastor and says, hey, I've been here and he's been stealing some coffee from Pastor, young pastor, small pastor. I've been known to be small pastor now. Somebody gave me that nickname. Is it regular pastor or small pastor? Which one's that? Okay. And he goes, so you've been stealing from a small pastor. And I go up to Pastor, hey, good buddy, old pal. And he's like, what in the world, dude? So you're marring my reputation when I didn't take anything from you. Going and telling everybody else, and now you want to be buddy-buddy? You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? I'm trying to do this. And since we sin against God, and then we try to go and hug it out, don't we? Oh, man, we have a hard time with that, don't we? We have a hard time. It's hard to face your loving heavenly Father, your holy God, after you've committed sin. So he's saying, hey, you don't get what you need, the godly wisdom. Why? Because you're so caught up in your sin, you can't face me. Right? You're so desperate to get what you want, you can't face me because our want does not match up with his want. Our flesh does not match up with his spirit. They're opposites. You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. It is an oxymoron. You cannot, I cannot do this. And so when you're coming back into this, my sin kills my pleas before I even utter them. Right? Because of, I just don't feel like I could face him. I don't feel like I can run home to him. Can you imagine being the prodigal son? And this would be my thought. What father would receive a son who's destroyed the inheritance? It might be the reason why I'd stick in that mud for just a little while longer. Complete transparency. Anybody feel like that's happened to them? I mean, man, that's me. There's been times when I feel like, God, I don't even know if I can preach today. God, I don't know if I can counsel this person today. I don't know if I can love them. I don't feel like I have the right to love someone else. My sin kills my pleas. See, this is an issue when we allow our flesh to become priority and our sin to kill our prayers. And when you're coming back into this and even dealing it with this way, sometimes we get so desperate, we use a permanent solution for a temporary issue. Have you ever thought about it that way? If I'm angry with someone, I shouldn't take a permanent solution and kill them for a temporary issue. Does that make sense? A teenager who gets pregnant. This is, what am I going to do? The first thought is, this is an issue for my life. I cannot handle this inconvenience. You should not go and murder a child because it's an issue for you. Do we understand the importance of that in dealing with even divorce? And something that Pastor talked about this morning, it's such a final thing that we think about. And how could I go back and mend those problems that I created? My marriage is just not up to snuff. And so therefore people go and commit adultery. I mean, that's a permanent choice. Because that will live with you. I mean, I'll forgive you, but that's really difficult to forget. That's difficult to let go of, to never come back to my mind in that moment. Isn't that difficult? And when you get into this sense, he's saying, listen, your sin will give issue to your pleas. Verse 3, it says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. My motivation deters my needs. My motivation deters my needs. I saw something in the Taylorville News about how they are requiring able-bodied people who have food stamps to work 20 hours. Did I get this correct? Did you see that? And hundreds of people are losing benefits if they don't own up to this. And very soon, like even in our area, have you heard of this? Okay, and people get upset about this. In the sense of, how can you take that away from them? But how many of you have also seen somebody who's able-bodied and been able to give them a gift, and they go, and instead of using that on food, they turn around and use it on alcohol or video gaming? I saw it all the time in Flint, all the time. It was a well-known saying, you could buy or rent food stamp cards, okay? You could buy them or rent, give cash for it, so you could take someone's food benefit who needs it desperately. At least that's what they state. They need it desperately, and they will go take that cash and buy drugs with it. That's a pretty intense situation. It's happening all over the place. Does everybody agree that that's a horrific situation? I mean, this is not a good one. What happens when that person comes back to you and asks for another $100? Do you struggle after they have used it for something other than what they are supposed to be able to get food for their children? Do you struggle to give them more? Anybody struggle with that? I mean, has anybody ever taken advantage of you in that situation? So you come back and you're saying, your motivation for this right here, your motivation for me to love you and to help you out is wrong. And so therefore, I cannot enable you any longer. Does that make sense? Now you're going back to that and you're saying, you ask, but your motivation is off because you end up consuming it on your own lust. God, I want wisdom. God, I want a great marriage. God, I need funds to be able to take care for my family. God, I would love a great church. God, God, bless our country. God, do this, do that. God, over and over again. And we turn around and use those blessings to consume them upon our own lusts. See, how many people sing God Bless America and yet turn and rip on our veterans and our military? How many people rip on our government and yet they are receiving things consistently from it? Okay? Now maybe I'm connecting here. Maybe I'm taking a real life situation where we've felt it. We've become angry about it. We're frustrated about it. Now get frustrated about ourselves. When we come and ask God, God, give me another day. God, give me money God, bless this, bless that. And we turn around and use it for our own glory. We waste it. We consume it upon our own desires. Maybe it's time to get frustrated with ourselves. Maybe it's time to get to the point where we need to become repentant and bow the knee. What does it say? If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then... Well, that's America. No, it's not America. He's actually talking about Israel there. But principle applies when his people get on their knees, pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. That's with the full faith, asking God for wisdom to help in each day trial. I mean, each day's trial. I think we could say that. Each day's trials, plural. God, give me what I need. Please, give me what... Now use it for his will, not yours. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. Oh, man, this is good scripture, God. And we just thank you for bringing to light. Are applied at times. It could be ourselves. It could be our own desires, our own lusts that wage war against you. God, may we never, ever become frustrated with the world when we're doing the exact same thing with you. God, we just need to be on our knees. Repent. Seek your face. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.